Right, to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Good to have each of you back with us this evening. Had a good meeting this morning, I thought. Y'all think we had a good meeting? Had a good meeting this morning. Had a good crowd. And we're thankful for that. Tonight, what I'm doing on Sunday evenings, I'm teaching through the book of 2 Thessalonians. And we're coming into chapter 2. And chapter 2 is a very... Well, really, chapter 2 is very prophetic. It's a very prophetic text. And it reveals some things that I think that we need to know with regard to second coming issues. And that's what I'm going to be dealing with tonight. In chapter 1, what we looked at, verses 1 through 4, we looked at the model church. And we've seen that the Thessalonian church was indeed a model church. I give you three reasons for that. You remember what they were? It's because their faith growed, their love abounded, and they were enduring. I mean, no doubt going through a hard time, but they were enduring as God's people. So those were three reasons we gave that they were a model church. Then verses 5 through 12, we entitled that The Righteous Judgment of God. And of course, there will be a day when God brings judgment here upon the earth. And one reason why the judgment's so great is because of the way the world historically has treated God's people. And buddy, I tell you, when he's going to get his people out of here, and then he's going to drop down all of his wrath upon those that are left behind, and he's going to destroy the world. He's going to bring judgment on it. And it's a righteous judgment. It's a righteous judgment. That's what we looked at last week. And one reason it's a righteous judgment is because he does it. Anything he does is righteous. But another reason, because of the way the world has treated his people throughout history. It's always persecuted God's people. Now, we live in a unique time here in America. We live in a unique time. And there's persecution maybe where people make fun of you. But as of right now, they're not beating us or putting us in jail or putting us in prison. But it very well could change. Because anymore, God's people is viewed as enemies in the nation. Have you noticed that? They're viewed as enemies in the nation. And for the most part, God's people is not looked upon in a very good light by the majority anymore. So that could change fast. They make fun of us and things now and ridicule, but I think the persecution will again start in our land. I think we will live to see it. I don't know when it's going to be. As far as being arrested, as far as being sued, they sue people now also, God's people. It's financial terrorism is what they call it. And they will sue and try to break you and things of that nature. So persecution has always been, and that's why God one day is going to bring judgment on the earth. Now in 2 Thessalonians 2 is where we're at tonight. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3. And I'm going to give you some interesting teachings tonight out of this particular text. Just to kind of lay the foundation for what I'm getting ready to read. In most prophetic viewpoints, and I want you to think just for a little bit. In most prophetic viewpoints, they put the Antichrist being set up after Jesus comes. But the most do that. You can go about anywhere and someone teaches on prophecy, they will have the Antichrist being set up after Jesus comes. It's just without a doubt, that's the majority of what way people look at it. We call it the futurist view. That's why we call it that, the futurist view, because the Antichrist is set up out here in the future. They don't view him as being set up now. Now, I'm going to be totally blunt with you tonight. I believe that's absolutely false. Amen. I don't think that's true whatsoever. And I think the text that I'm reading to you tonight absolutely contradicts the common view. Does that sound agreeable to you? So I'm going to give you the information tonight, and then you weigh it and you search it out and you see whether it's so. I got some things to read. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Be about like this morning. I had 3 points, got one done and quit. But I got more material tonight than I did this morning. So let's read our text for this evening. verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what's that? What coming is that, brethren? That's a second coming. So, is it not clear that the subject that we're looking at right here is talking about what coming? The second coming. The first coming's done happen. Happened 2,000 years ago. We're waiting on the second coming. So that's the subject here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're waiting on Him to come. He hadn't come yet. He could come tonight. That's why you best be ready for it. But that's what we're talking about, is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, when He comes, what's going to happen? What else does it say in verse 1? "And are gathering together unto Him." That's what's going to happen. He's going to gather us together. Verse 2, "And that ye be not soon shaken." Don't get shook over it. Don't get shook over the coming of Christ. "Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." Verse 3. Now, I'm going to pray after this one. And then I'm going to get back in the text. "Let no man deceive you." Now I want everybody to look at verse 3. "Let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come except." In other words, Jesus is not going to come except two events happen. If these two events hadn't happened, then Jesus couldn't come yet. But if these two events have happened, then He could come at any time. All right? Let's notice what those two events are. Number one, except there be a falling away first. And that word falling away means an apostasy from the truth. The word falling away is the word apostasy. It's an apostasy. It's a departure from the truth of the Word of God. There will come a departure away from the truth. Okay? And then what's going to happen? So that apostasy has to happen. If the apostasy hadn't happened yet, and Jesus is not coming yet. So the apostasy has to happen first. And number two, what has to happen? What's the second thing you notice in the verse? "And the man of sin be revealed." The son of destruction. Now the man of sin, the son of destruction, is the Antichrist. Just about anybody will tell you that. He's called the man of sin, and he's called the son of perdition, the son of destruction. So there has to be an apostasy, and the man of sin be revealed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've had this privilege tonight of teaching Your Word. We pray that You grant Your Spirit in the congregation, that we may be able to see and understand the teaching of Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what we're going to title this message tonight, we're going to title it after verse 1 when it says, "Our gathering together." Does everybody see where it says that? Our gathering together. That's what the message title is. Are we looking forward to that? Yeah, that's not happened yet. We ain't been gathered yet. We're waiting on Jesus to come. Now, I think the reason why he's addressing this, if you look back at 1 Thessalonians, every chapter in 1 Thessalonians says something about the second coming. Every chapter does. Okay? And I want to show you that. Verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You see it in 1:10? Talking about what? The second coming. Chapter 2, verse 19. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" So you got it in chapter 2. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "To the end He may be established your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's three times He uses it. Of course, chapter 4, you know that without me even reading it, don't you? Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it says, "For the Lord," verse 16, let's go ahead and read verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds." So you see it in chapter 4 and then in chapter 5. And the verse, chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, five chapters in 1 Thessalonians. Every chapter says something about the second coming. Everybody notice it? Well, I think because of that, I think many at the Thessalonian church thought he was coming right then. And when you look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, one of the things he addressed with them is some of them had stopped working. And he's encouraging them to work. And I mean physical labor. Go to work. And you know, we've had that happen where people have guessed, y'all know not to follow what they say, because no man knows the day and the hour. It always somebody comes along, Jesus is coming on such and such a time. You know what I mean? So, one of the things that we learn from man is you don't follow what they say. Because nobody knows the date and the hour. But when those people that actually think he's coming for at a certain time, do you think they go to work that morning? No, ain't no use going to work if Jesus is coming. So I think what happened here in 2 Thessalonians, especially when you read chapter 3, some of them had stopped working. And I think one of the reasons why they done that is they think he's coming. He mentioned it five times in 1 Thessalonians. He's on his way. Has to be. Well, I think what Paul does here in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3, is he gives you some things that has to happen before Jesus is going to come. Before he could come, these two things has to happen. And the first one is the man of sin has to be revealed. And the second thing is there has to be a departure from the truth. Actually, you can reverse that. A departure from the truth will happen first, and then the man of sin be revealed. If that hadn't happened, then he's not going to come yet. Those two events has to happen, okay? Now, let's move into the message. I've just given you, just laying the foundation for it. Now, you'll notice it calls the coming of Jesus the gathering together. I like that. Do y'all like that? It calls the coming of Jesus the gathering together. I like that terminology to describe Jesus' coming because it is a gathering together. Now, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 15, you know, the family's divided right now. Do y'all agree with me tonight? The family's divided right now. Book of Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Alright, are you still with me tonight? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
So the family's in two locations. The family is in two locations. And do you know where those two locations are at? The family's here on earth. And the family's where else at? In heaven and earth. So right now the family's divided, isn't it? When we're talking about the family, we're talking about our brothers and sisters that are saved. I got family members. I got people that I love that's in glory. And we're divided. But one of these days, guess what? We're going to be, I like the terminology, we're going to be gathered together. See, we're divided right now. See, the family's in two locations when you're talking about saved people. Ephesians 3, notice what it says in verse 15. Notice the two locations that are given. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole what? The whole family. Where are they at? In heaven and in earth. That's the two locations. So right now the family is what? We're divided. And guess what's going to happen when Jesus comes? He's going to gather them all together. He's going to gather them all together. And of course, that gathering place will be in the clouds. Ephesians 1 and verse 10, notice it. I'm going to take my time with this. If I don't get done, that'd be all right. I'll finish it next week. And then if the Lord comes back, we won't have to worry about it next week. Ephesians chapter 1 will be there. Ephesians 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, the idea of dispensation is after the management of time or after a certain time. Now watch this now. He will gather together in one. Underline that. He will gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. There's your two locations. They're in heaven. Where else they are at? They're on earth. And when He comes, Brother Dave, when He comes, He's going to gather us together as one. And they will be, He's going to gather us in the gathering place will be the clouds, won't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 comes from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Dead in Christ rise first. In 1 Thessalonians 4 says, even we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with them. And so shall we be. We'll be gathered together as one. It's called a gathering. We're waiting on the gathering. Another name for the day of the rapture is the gathering day. That's when He's going to bring all His people together. Hey, do y'all look forward to that? Do you got people there you want to be gathered again to see again? Won't that be a marvelous thing? Ain't that a glorious thing to look forward to? We're going to be gathered together. If you die, you go to be with the Lord and you get to see your people's there. And if Jesus comes, you go to be with the Lord. I mean, either way, we're win. We win. And it's always true that God's people, hear me, never say goodbye for the last time. I said goodbyes to some pretty dear folks over the years that I've loved. And I'll look at them and I'll say, goodbye, but I'll see you later. That's victory, isn't it? That means you know where they're at now, and then you know again one of these days there's going to be a gathering take place, and you're going to see them again. Isn't it great being saved? Isn't it great being saved? All right, let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about the gathering right now. Our message is entitled, Our Gathering Together. There's a coming gathering. That's the rapture. That's when He's going to get us out of here. It's also going to be the day of the first resurrection. The resurrection takes place first. And then the dead in Christ rise first, is what 1 Thessalonians 4. They're with the Lord now. But when Jesus comes, you know the difference? They're going to get a body. They'll get a new body. Body that never gets sick. Body that never age. Body that never sin. And body that will never die. They're with the Lord now in spirit, but one of these days they're going to get a body. That's why first they're with the Lord now. And when Jesus comes, He's bringing them with Him. And then there'll be a resurrection. It's called the resurrection of the just, of the justified. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. What's that called again? It's a gathering. It's a gathering day. It'll bring us together. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a prophetic text. I've talked to it many times over the years, but I'm just going to read pieces of it. Let's begin at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus coming. He will appear. It's also called His appearing. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth, what are they going to do when they see Jesus appear? What's it say? It says they mourn, don't they? Do you know why they mourn? They're not ready. They've set in services just like this one. And they heard about the coming of the Messiah. And they planned on one of these days getting ready. And now He's appeared. And they're not ready. That's why they do what? That's why they mourn. And I'm going to share a little something with you right now, and I'll give more details about it later. I think once Jesus comes, that's equivalent to the ark door shutting. Amen. I think having people saved after that is a vain hope. Right. And the majority of prophetic folks has people getting saved after Jesus is coming. And I think that's a great misconception. No, I don't believe that at all. That's right. Dangerous. Well, what does it say there? If there was another chance, why would they be mourning? That's right. They're mourning because they know they're not ready. He shall appear in the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth, they're mourning. They're not ready. They know judgment day's come. They know destruction is coming. They're not ready. And they shall see. I want you to listen to what that just said. They shall see the sign of the Son of Man. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's not, there's no such thing as a secret rapture. I don't know how many movies I've seen where Jesus has come back and everybody's going, what in the world's happened? I'm going to tell you, they're going to know what's happened according to that text. They're going to see it and they're going to mourn because of it. It's going to be a frightening day. Luke 21 says, men's heart failing them for fear. It's not no secret. It's going to be loud. I mean, if you're going to sneak up on somebody, would you come with a shout and blowing a trumpet? Think about it. When He's coming, 1 Thessalonians 4 said He's coming with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It's going to be noisy and it's going to be visible and it's going to be frightening. That's why Luke 21, which records the same message, says men's hearts failing them for fear. Because they know what's about to happen. Verse 31, He'll send His what? He'll send His angels. He'll be gathered by the angels. He shall send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather His elect. That's just another name for God's people. And you shouldn't have a problem with the name elect. It just means chosen. It's just another name for God's people. He shall send forth His angels. They'll gather. There's our gathering. He gathers together His elect from the four winds. That's north, south, east, and west. All over the whole earth He gathers them. He's not going to miss a one of them. He's going to gather them all. He's going to gather us where at? He'll send His angels, the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of where? One end of heaven. One end of heaven to the other. Hey, do y'all got any people tonight in heaven? How many's got somebody in heaven tonight? When He comes, He's bringing them. Oh, my! When not only are they with Him now, when He comes, He's bringing them with Him. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 says when Jesus comes, when He's bringing them with Him, like I said a little while ago, they're going to get a new body then. That's when they'll get a new body. Body that never age, body that never gets sick, body that'll never die. Then 1 Thessalonians 4 says, then, after that happens, we'll be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from. We'll be caught up together. Somebody finish that for me. With them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Be a gathering day. A gathering day for God's people in the clouds. I think about it. I think about it all the time. You? I hope you do. I hope you think about it all the time. All right. I'm going to give you something I want you to do. I want you to get, if you don't get anything out of what I said tonight, I want you to get verse 28. Are you still Matthew 24? I'm going to give you a little something because I don't hear a lot of this one either. There's an illustration given in Matthew 24 and verse 28. There's an illustration given. Now, I'm going to lay the foundation for this thing before I explain it to you, okay? If y'all ever watch in nature shows where sometimes they'll show out maybe over in Africa somewhere or something and maybe a carcass of a, I don't know, of some ox, say, a carcass of a deer or something. It gets killed. You ever seen it? And that old deer's laying there dead. And eventually they'll show a whole, once that thing's laying down there and dead and decaying, and then it shows a bunch of what getting on top of it? A gathering of buzzards. Y'all noticed it? It shows that. I want you to remember this now. I don't want you to forget this because this is the illustration of what this text is doing. I'm going to explain. So here you have a carcass. Remember them nature shows you see. Here you have a carcass, and then you have a gathering of all these vultures on top of it. If you ever seen that on a nature show, would you raise your hand? Y'all seen it? There's the carcass. There's the gathering. Now watch this now. I want you to get this. Notice what it says here again in the verse 20, in the verse 28. For whether, let's get back up a little bit. Verse 27. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming. See, we're talking about what? We're talking about the coming. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So verse 27, the context, what are we talking about? We're talking about His coming. Now let's move on to verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles be gathered together. Now do you know what the word eagles is a poor translation. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you would look it up, if you look up the word eagles, it means vultures. Where the carcass is, there gathers the vultures also. You say, well, what kind of illustration is it? It's a beautiful illustration. It's beautiful. Jesus is likening His second coming to a carcass. When He comes, it's like a carcass. And when He comes, all His people will be gathered together to Him. That's the picture. I went and visited Uncle Bill, and we was talking, and he remembered it. He heard me teach this before, and he said, you know, I walked out in the field today, and I seen the prettiest picture in the world of the second coming. I said, you did? What did you see? He said, well, there's a carcass over in the field of deer, and there was vultures all around it. It reminded him of that text that I just read about. That's what Jesus is using as an illustration. Where the carcass is, that's where they will be gathered together. Well, Jesus is coming in the clouds. And guess what He's going to do? He's going to gather us together. Everybody got that in verse 28? I want you to remember that. I think that's pretty cool. So every time you see a gathering of vultures on a carcass, what's that going to remind you of? It's going to remind you of the second coming. Because that's why He used this as an illustration. It's a picture. It's a picture of the gathering. Let's go to Luke 17 now. Luke 17. If I get done in 5 minutes, I'll quit. No. Y'all interested in this? I'm talking about the gathering. I hope you are. Everybody's got the carcass down pat, right? We know that His coming's a gathering. It's called a gathering because the family's divided, right? Family's divided right now. There's more in heaven than are here on earth. Y'all agree? More of them in heaven than here on earth. But eventually, Mike, we'll all be brought together. Going to bring us all together. And that gathering place, where's that gathering place going to be at now? It's going to be in the clouds. On a bright, beautiful day, look up at the clouds and say, we're going to gather there one of these days. We're going to gather there one of these days. Gathering place. That's why it's a great being saved. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 17. Now, we realize once the Lord gets us out of here, once the Master gets us out of there, what's He going to do? He's going to destroy this place. But before He destroys it, He gets His people out. That's the way He works. He's done this in two past destructions already. Before He destroyed it, He made sure His people were saved. So before He drops His wrath down, 2 Peter 3 says He's going to destroy the world by fire. Before He does that, He's getting ready to drop it down, He said, wait a minute. He'll look over at His Son and say, go get your people out. And He'll get His people out. And once He gets His people out, then He's going to drop down His judgment upon this earth. Done. Hey, He's already done it once. He's destroyed it by water once. But the next time, He's going to destroy it by fire. The very next time, that's how it's going to be. All right. Now, I'm a little bit different way I look at some things. I think once the Lord comes, that's it. I think that's done. I don't have people being saved in the tribulation. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think the day of salvation, today's the day of salvation. While you're living, before Jesus comes, I think it's eternally too late after that Jesus comes. I think when Jesus comes, that's it. That's what I preach, and I preached that for years. And I think the evidence for that is great. And the evidence I'm going to give you now comes out of Luke 17. Are you ready? Now, do y'all agree with me that the Lord's done destroyed, had two destructions in the past? Everybody in the house realized He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by what? He destroyed it by fire, didn't He? There's also been one worldwide destruction in the past. What was that with? That was by water. Do we have evidence for that? Well, yeah, we have the Bible. The Bible says it. That's all the evidence in the world we need. But all the fossils you see all over the planet, seashell fossils on the highest mountains in the world, seashell fossils in deserts, is evidence of a worldwide flood. It happened. He's done destroyed it once already. But the second time, He's going to destroy it by what? He's going to destroy it by fire. So we can look back at the previous times that He's destroyed things to learn a little bit about the second coming. Do y'all agree? We can look at these previous destructions and learn a little bit about second coming issues. All right, Luke chapter 17, this is what He does. Verse 26. It says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Are you with me? All right, let's stop here just a minute. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." The Son of Man is Jesus. So He's using the destruction in Noah's day as an example of how it's going to be at the second coming. Are you with me? Now watch this now. I want you to get it. Luke 17 and verse 20. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they did drink, and they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." Now let's stop here just a minute. Do you know what that means? It means they were just living life. I mean, they were eating dinner, they were going to bed, they were getting married, they were given in marriage. These are normal things. It looked like just in the days of Noah, it looked just like it was another day. And you know what happened? And the world didn't know it. And you know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the book of Peter says. Not only did he build, but he would also warn. And he would preach. And then you know what happened after around 120 years and the ark was finished? Here's what God did. "Noah, get on. You, get your wife, get your three sons and their three wives, and you do what? You get on." And you know what? Noah got on. And what did the Lord do once He got on? Pow. He shut the door. Did anybody get on the ark after that? Mm-mm. When that door shut, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That was it. That was it. There wasn't no other chances or whatever you want to call it. There wasn't none of that. Once they got on, that's it. Wasn't no more. Now let's look at our text. I want you to see that here. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 again. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." This is talking about His coming. "They did eat and they drank and they married wives and they were given in marriage." This is just a normal routines of life. "Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came." And the flood came and did what?
Destroyed them.
Destroyed them all. All but eight. Sexton, all but eight. Population stats I've read reach as high as 1 billion people on the earth at that day. 8 people was on that ark. 8 people. Noah preached and Noah preached and Noah preached. And then God said, "That's it. Get on." And the door was shut. And after that, the foundations of the deep... See, it just wasn't the rain that caused the flood. The foundations of the deep broke up. And the rain came down. Man, it would have been tsunami. It would have been a horrible place to be. And the world was covered with water. What does it say there in the text? "And destroyed them all." In other words, once the people of God was in the ark of safety, God brought His judgment and destroyed them all. That's what it says, isn't it? Now the next destruction is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God not only destroyed the world by water, but He rained fire and brimstone down out of heaven, and He destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I've read we're over in that area. There's nothing but tar pits there. I mean, He wiped it off the planet. He did. Are you still with me? Notice what it says in verse 28. "Likewise," that means in the same way, also shall it be, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Stop for just a moment. It was just another day. They were building, they were going to dinner, they were doing whatever. These are normal things you do. You eat, you drink, you buy and you sell, you plant, and you build. It was just looked like another day again. Just like it in the days of Noah. It looked just like another day. But you know what happened? God told Lot to get out of the city. Matter of fact, there's two angels came and grabbed him and his wife and his two daughters and was taking them out. Said, come on, get out of this place. And God dropped fire and brimstone down out of heaven and he wiped the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. He destroyed them all. In other words, once God's people was safe in the day of Noah, then destruction. Everybody get where I'm coming from? Once Noah and his family was safe on the ark, then he brought the destruction and destroyed how many? Right. Now when we go to the next destruction where he's reigning, he's destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, once Lot was safe, you remember the angel said, we can do nothing till you're safe. Lot was gathered by the what? Gathered by the angel. See all the pictures of the second coming. Once he was safe out of the city, and God brought fire and brimstone down and destroyed them all. Everybody see that? Are you ready for verse 30 now? Let's look at verse 30. Same text. Luke 17 and verse 30. Even thus. The word even thus means in the same manner. So shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It will be the same way. So just like whenever in the days of Noah when he's safe, destruction. Days of Lot, safe, then destruction. When Jesus comes again, before he drops his wrath down on this earth, he'll say, wait a minute. Get your people out. So he'll rapture all of his people, gets all of his people out of here. He gets all of his people out. And they're gathered where at? They're gathered in the clouds of glory. Yeah. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. That'd be the happy reunion day. Now here's what's different. I think he's going to do just like he did with the other two destructions. I think he'll destroy them all. I don't have salvation after Jesus comes. I think that's equivalent to the ark door shutting. Whenever Jesus comes. I think that's why Acts chapter 2 says today, now is the accepted time. Let me say it one more time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Not after that. And it scares me with so many. Well, I'll just get saved after the Lord comes. I think that's a vain hope. I think that's equivalent, like I said, to the ark door shutting. Lot being taken safely out of the city. I think that's what that is. Oh, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm trying to find a place to stop. It would be a good place to stop right now, but I don't want to. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think I'm going to present this and give you a little bit to think about. Give you a while to think about these things. Notice what it says again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happens when Jesus comes? What's He going to do? He's going to gather us. Our gatherers together unto Him. Now He says in verse 2, now I think the reason for verse 2 is I think the Thessalonians thought He was coming 2,000 years ago. Because He mentioned it 5 times in 1 Thessalonians. I would have thought the same thing. Man, He said it 5 times. He must be on His way. So what He's doing in 2 Thessalonians is He's going to, here's some things that's going to happen first. Are you with me? These two things have to happen first before He's going to come. And here's what those things are. Don't be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. So he gives you a warning right there. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. That day shall not come except. And it gives you two things that it's going to happen before Jesus comes. How many things? Two things. It gives you two things that's going to have to happen. The first thing that has to happen is the falling away first. And the falling away, if you look it up in a Greek concordance, it's apostasy. And the word apostasy means a departure from the truth. There'll be a great departure from the truth of the Word of God. A great departure. False gospels, false messages, false preachers, false churches, all of that. There'll be a lot of false. The devil works that way. The devil's never so dangerous as when he carries the Bible, so to speak. I mean, don't you think that he uses false religion for the purpose of deception? He always has. And he always will. That's why you got to know the book yourself. That's why you got to have an understanding of the Scripture so you can see things. And the Lord will keep you from being deceived. So he says, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come. What's the first thing that has to happen? Except there'll be a falling away first. That's a falling away from the truth of God's Word. The second thing that has to happen is the man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. That's the second thing that has to happen. Falling away from the truth and the man of sin be revealed. You know who the man of sin is? It's the Antichrist. Almost anybody will tell you that. But you notice the difference in what I just said? That day shall not come. It's talking about He's coming. That day's not going to happen until He's first revealed and there'll be an apostasy. What's happening is all of these things are put after the coming. You've got the Antichrist being revealed after the coming. And I'm telling you, that's as false can be. According to that text that I just gave you just now. That day's not going to come except there be an apostasy from the truth. And number two, the man of sin be revealed. Okay? I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave you lay. I'm going to let you think about what I give you tonight. And next week, I'm going to share with you who that man of sin is. I'm going to tell you who he is. I'm going to tell you he's here today. And I'm going to tell you he's been here sometime. And he fulfills the apostasy, and he fits the description of the man of sin. Our forefathers had no doubt who he was. And we'll share you with that next week. All God's people said, amen. All right, good. Y'all will stand up.